your style. Now that you heard my calming voice, you couldn't get another nigga.
Your coochie won't get moist.
If you want to look good and not be bummy, yo, you better give me that money.
Welcome to the Pinecast. I'm joined today by Travis. You can follow him at _Zeets. He's got a new handle. What's up, Travis?
Yeah. Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fantastic. And joined by Joseph. You can follow him at I Hate Your Club. What's up, Jay?
Hey, hello, everybody.
Hello, hello. It has been a scandalous 24, 26 hours or so. In the world of football, we've been the biggest. It's been the biggest topic in the world for about a day. It's crazy times. What do you think? I mean, Joseph, how do you feel about soccer finally making the front pages, but only for corruption?
Well, I guess it's good that it's front page news, and it'll last for, I don't know, a day or two, so that's always fun.
A day or two. You think this isn't going to be a talking point for a very long time? I mean, if this happened in like a major American sport, this would be a talking point for a long time, don't you think?
Yeah, it was on CNN today. It'll probably be on CNN tomorrow and maybe to Friday, but that'll be it.
Interesting. I mean, I think this is, it feels bigger than that. I know, Travis, give me your thoughts on the state of the sport and what this indictment means.
Well, it's just I think it's going to affect every level of soccer in U.S. soccer, because a lot of the people indicted are CONCACAF people, and they have their hands on like grassroots soccer in Americas. So it's like from even the South American ones to the U.S. ones, or even the NASL guy that we talked about. So it's really big for U.S. soccer, and especially since it's the Department of Justice, the United States Department of Justice is doing it. It's not like this is happening with European powers. This is America convicting people that's in charge of American soccer. So
right.
I don't know. I think it's gonna have a big resonating effect, especially to see who's gonna take over, because you know the people that have been in that position have been there for a long time. That's usually how corruption works. But I don't know. I think it's gonna change a lot, actually.
Really? Well, I'm surprised. I mean, it could. It's just that, don't you think maybe that Blatter may end up taking the fall, and most of the other people will get off with hand slaps?
Oh no, Blatter. Remember in his statement and in FIFA's original statement, he said that they were the ones who filed the complaint to the Department of Justice or to the Swiss officials in the first place. This is, well, they were, because they can't really arrest those people on their own, but right. It seems more like Blatter's taking out the competition. And because he was the one that was giving away the room numbers. He was like, while the whole thing was happening, it was reported that he was sitting in the lobby drinking champagne and giving away people's room numbers. So Blatter's not is basically untouchable in this instance, because I don't even think if they searched hard enough, they're ever going to find any evidence of him actually pocketing money. It's right. Probably going to be like an instance where a bunch of money is at a room and it just disappeared and nobody knows where it went. But
I mean, he's as dirty as they come, though. I mean, it's not, look, yeah, I don't think it really surprised
anyone.
He's
a mastermind.
What's happened. Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, look, to be in control of this organization for as long as he has been pretty remarkable. But do either of you think, I'll come to you, Joseph, do you think that there's a chance that FIFA can redeem itself in any way? And that means like with an overhaul, or is it going to take, you know, there's a groundswell of a little bit of momentum for getting rid of FIFA altogether. I mean, in terms of, you know, it doesn't stand
for
anything.
Yeah, but I think that's a lot of, you know, opportunistic people trying to take advantage of the situation. And, you know, like UEFA, you know, who wouldn't, it's shocking.
Sure,
and Platini, who, you know, is Mr. Clean. So I just think it's, you know, the talk about, you know, basically, you know, a new federation is way ahead of where they really are. But I mean, hopefully it'll just make it change. I mean, we've all grown up with, even as old as I am, I've grown up with knowing FIFA was corrupt. I mean, this is nothing new. We all knew it 10 years ago. We all knew it 20 years ago. You know, I mean, it's always been shady. It's as shady as the Olympic Committee is.
It's true.
They really are some of the, the most corrupt groups that we've seen, really. I mean, look at world politics and all the stuff that's going on with these guys. I mean, the bribery stuff. I mean, how the fuck can you, like, you know, we all knew in 2010 that this was all fucking rigged. You know, like, you can't feasibly tell someone that you're going to host a tournament in a country where it's 120 degrees during the summer and you're going to sell them on making artificial fucking clouds. You know, like, this shit is ridiculous. And yep, it's absolutely dirty. But it's about fucking time they're doing something. You know?
Well, they basically just pissed off the wrong entity, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
That's what happened, right? If the U.S. gets the games the Qatar got, does this happen? Maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing some self-reporting, but yeah, I mean, they are certainly exposing how they got chipped, so to speak.
Yeah, and the thing is, the Loretta Lynch, mm-hmm, she just got into power recently, even after she was delayed by Republican vote, you know, how that works. But she just got into power recently, and they started a case a couple of years ago, and the statute of limitations on it was running out. I think it was like a 5-year statute of limitations. And I don't understand why FIFA, when you're that corrupt, how you could be stupid enough to start doing wire transfers from U.S. banks. And like, you've been in this game too long, and
That might be part of the problem. They've just been getting away with it for so long. They're like, no one fucking touches.
Yeah, and they just got too. Yeah, it's basically like pride comes before the fall, where it's just like, dude, we could do whatever you want, and then you just wire it into the wrong entity, and it's just like, all right, yeah, you guys have fucked up really badly.
So Travis, who do you think looks the worst out of this? You know, because obviously Blatter hasn't been indicted himself. But like you said, there's several CONCACAF representatives, but there's, you know, representatives from all over the globe. What do you think?
Well, I think in general, CONCACAF looked the worst out of everybody, because it's just, you look at the list of names and it's just like, wow, this is, CONCACAF really bad. I mean, I'm pretty sure every other federation is terrible. Like, was Don Julio from Argentina before he died? He was one of the most awful human beings in the world. But yeah, CONCACAF looks really terrible, and FIFA looks bad. But FIFA's always looked bad. That's not a surprise. We know FIFA sucks. But they just outright came out and said the Qatar World Cup is still going to go on. The Russian World Cup is still going to go on. So
What can be done to overturn that, though? I mean, even if we want to, how is that going to be able to be changed?
I'm not even sure, because even if you look at the list of the people that voted, all of them have either quit under, you know, murky circumstances,
sure,
or been indicted for something, or, you know, just they've all been through something ever since they voted for that. And it's, well, when you look at it, you're just like, okay, everybody who voted in there was dirty. The whole process was dirty, but it's just going to go, the show continues. And the most you could do is try to get in separate individuals, because you can't get the whole of FIFA. So you have to take out individuals. It's like, I think one of our writers compared it to the Al Capone thing. You can't really get him on the main things, yeah, so you get him on taxes.
Right. You got to find whatever way you can actually, something you can tangibly grab him for. I mean, do you think Joseph, do you think anyone's going to actually roll over on SEP? I mean, you would think that, the people are high profile enough within that you think they probably have something that they could turn over about on him.
Or not.
I guess he left us in a fit of rage.
Yeah, he just got so fed up with Sepp.
Joseph, you were so mad at Sepp, you rage quit.
I was so mad I turned it off. No, yeah. I guess, you know, I don't think so, because even if these people are convicted, how much time are they really going to do?
Right.
And it's not going to, they're not going to be, you know, up, you're not going to be here in, Tehachapi here in California, where it's a maximum security prison or anything. It's going to be a federal prison. So, I mean,
well, look,
maybe
I don't give a shit.
Away,
about
maybe they're put away
time.
For 6 months on tax evasion or something, or, you know, illegal use of wire transfers or something. That's, I mean, why give up the guy who's going to control the money for still years to come?
Look, honestly, I don't personally care about guys that are doing this money laundering, like serving hard time. That's not of importance to me. It's the fact that matters that they took the money and this happened, and we need to get them like the fuck out of the organization. We need them out of football and out of FIFA. That's what matters to me. Like, I don't care. Like, but, you know, like you said, he's never going to serve like real prison time. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but even if they're out of the Federation, it doesn't mean the money. I mean, if the latter, then the money's probably going to stop. They're not going to be able to stay in the Federation and roll over.
So Travis, what do you think is going to happen with Sepp? Is Sepp going to win the next election on Friday?
Oh yeah, easily. He's basically running unchallenged again. Who's his only opponent is the Prince, and Figo was so out of his element and overpowered.
Very out of his depth. But
you know, I don't even think Figo would have gotten one vote. But Sepp doesn't even have to do anything. He's a dictator. He's a dictator. He doesn't have to run because he's already won before the election even starts.
That's
like
true.
When they asked him about a debate or his manifesto, he said, "My years is FIFA. At FIFA is my manifesto." He folded his arms and just sat there like a pouty child.
Yeah, like a
FIFA is a sandbox.
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He's a sandbox. He owns it. He's the king of the sandbox.
But like it's sad and it's shameful that it's selling the game, and like this has, you know, the players have nothing to do with this, and there's nothing they can really do about it. And what are they going to do? Protest a World Cup? You know, you're not.
We can wait till Sepp Blatter dies. He's really old.
God damn, it's fucking modern medicine keeping all these stupid old bastards alive. Fuck that. We need to get, I don't know.
When you're evil, you usually last a long time.
I feel, yeah. Does he have like a fake heart like Dick Cheney? I feel like they're in the same category. In that like evil,
look at Rupert Murdoch. He's
yes,
like 97.
Yes. These motherfuckers.
It's the evil, man. The more kids you kick, the more kids and puppies you kick,
oh,
the longer you live.
It's like crush them and
that's why
inhale their youthful exuberance. God, feeding on their hopes and dreams. This is getting dark, Travis.
It's how Voldemort stayed alive.
Fair enough. So Sepp will win again on Friday. You don't think? Do either of you think that there would be at least a couple votes that would change due to this? I mean, yeah, maybe it won't change the election, but do you think it's going to affect the percentages at least something significantly?
No. I mean, your European Federation was going to go for the Prince, right? That doesn't change.
Yeah.
So, but everybody else, no. I mean, no. I mean, that would be too good of things to happen, right? I mean, I don't think things work like that.
Well. And I guess we'll have to see how that pans out. I mean, we'll see. We got a lot of time. There'll be a lot of developments. I'm sure these next couple of weeks, there'll be a lot more to talk about through discovery and maybe a couple rats. Because, look, people, when you tell them they got to roll over on 150 million or 10 million, whatever, crazy numbers, big money.
Yeah, you saw people, that guy that paid the 150 million
yeah,
just
like,
stay
nope,
out of jail.
Nope, here you go.
I don't want to go
like,
to prison.
I am not getting raped. That is not happening.
The optimistic part in all of this is the fact that the Department of Justice said that this is only the beginning. and the fact that the Swiss officials are, because this is might be one of the few times I've ever seen Switzerland actually say, okay, come get these guys, or we're going to help you get
right.
somebody
yeah,
in Switzerland.
That's so out of character. For
yeah.
Them.
Switzerland is literally where people go to run away from the law.
Yeah, that's where you go for
and
asylum.
Now they're, yeah. Switzerland or like Venezuela or like, you know, some place nice.
Yeah.
Cuba. Let's go to Cuba. But yeah, this is one of the few times I've actually seen or heard about Switzerland saying, okay, we're going to help you get these guys. And they're not letting the other officials leave either. They're holding them down for as long as the investigation takes. So I guess that's the optimistic part, that a lot of nations are banding together to try to, you know, take down FIFA.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Let's shift gears a little. Let's head to Spain. There's been some interesting action, and as well as there's a Copa del Rey final at the weekend. Some people may be taking it for granted that there's a good chance Barcelona will win. They're facing a resilient Athletic Bilbao side.
No, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, they're probably going to kill him. They're probably going to kill him, and it'll be the second jewel in their crown for the season.
It's a pretty big turnaround for Barcelona over the year. I mean,
yeah.
Remember when there were people questioning whether, you know, Messi even likes to play football anymore? Remember
sure.
that?
Yeah. No, everyone started
I read an article about that. He might not be even good at it anymore. That's pretty good.
Oh, somebody wrote that.
That's one of my favorite articles ever, honestly.
Dude, I still get emails to this day of people telling me to go to hell.
People get touchy. You touch the golden boy, someone who's like their messiah, they're going to come out with their pitchforks.
Dude, it's so sarcastic.
I know.
It's such a satirical...
I know how it is, man. But, you're asking the public to be
dude, one
wise
of the sentences in that article literally says that Messi doesn't have a left foot. And people got so upset about that sentence, too. And I'm like, how? Like, how?
But some people are simple.
No, it's still fun. It gets hits on the website still. So
there you go. It's still doing work for you. There you go.
Yeah, keeps the money coming in.
So let's talk.
But they've come a long way, right?
They have.
Yeah.
They have, and you know, like you said, it wasn't that long ago. Just a few months ago in the season. After look, the end of last season, that was probably the lowest point they've had in what, a fucking decade, 8 years. I mean, you know what I mean? Like not winning anything last season was about as bad as they've done in any regard, you know, missing out on the title at the end and all that. And, you know, but they found the formula in the second half of the season. I mean, 2015 has been Messi's year, no doubt. You know, he's absolutely.
Well, it's as soon as he lost that, the award to Ronaldo, he just turned it
up.
Yep.
And, you know, and then Ronaldo went on that drought, right? Simultaneously, yeah. Right? Remember right then he didn't score in 5 or 7 games, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, because like that. In January, Ronaldo had like 30 goals to Messi's 15.
Right.
And I was like, there's no way he catches up.
And yeah,
then
he was
like,
leading for a while.
Forgot how to play.
If he didn't fucking hand over penalties, he might at least taken a share of that. But, you know, what did Ronaldo won by a couple goals,
but
right?
I think like
3 or 4 at the end.
Yeah, he won. But I think like one of the biggest changes that Barcelona made, because I don't even think the criticism at the beginning of the season was unfair, because Enrique was like doing some weird shit. Like,
yeah, wasn't he changing the team constantly?
Yeah. Like they didn't have a starting 11. It was just like constantly changing it. And then there was like the weird combinations where Busquets and Mascherano will play in midfield, and then he'll drop Mascherano back in defense. And like, it was just like, dude, get your team. And then he finally decided, hey, I have 3 of the best attacking players in the world. I'm just going to get the ball and just hand it over to them and let them work. And then it's like, oh, yeah, it works, because you have Messi, Neymar, and Suarez.
Yep.
Interesting how that works out.
Yeah, Brian was just commenting on that as well, our friend at Gunner Faithful. Yeah, I mean, when you have that kind of attacking talent up top, I mean – you know, like you said, you let him
just
sort it out. And look,
be.
And it was always going to take a little while because of the ban that Suarez had. But, you know, we always knew you put these three together, they're going to find a way to play together. And when that happens and they click, you know, it's going to be fucking beautiful. And, you know, Rakitic has slotted in really well in midfield. You know, I think he's done a very good job of filling Cesc's boots there. And,
yeah,
and they've been more successful.
So.
What'd you say?
I said, plus he's handsome, so that always works okay. out.
Sure. Yeah, that, I suppose that helps. That helps, I'm sure. But so they look good going into, you know, going into this final, likely to get their, you know, like I said, the second title of the season. One nice aspect of it is that it would set up a Champions League final between two teams that have now done the domestic double going into the European final. I mean, I think it's about as sexy of a matchup as you could imagine. Joseph, we've gone over this a bit before, but I mean, is your stance changing at all in terms of who you think is going to win that final? Do you think Juve have a chance?
Oh yeah, Juve have a chance. I mean, because you know, shit happens.
Yeah.
But I mean, it doesn't happen like it happens to Arsenal. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like Barcelona's keeper is going to get sent off, you know, yeah, within the first
that won't happen.
20 minutes. That's not going to happen.
Percy gets sent off.
Right, and no one's going to get a second yellow card for kicking the ball away. I guarantee that ever again. Juve's got a shot. I mean, Juve's a good team in good form, you know, who've gotten better and better too. So, I mean, I think most everybody thinks Barcelona's going to win just because of their attacking and the form that Messi's in. But, yeah, I'm on board. I want Juve to win. So do I.
I don't think that Travis would join us in those sentiments. But Travis, with your anti-Juve sentiment aside, do you think that first are these two teams the two best teams in Europe this year? Are they fully deserving of being there, or was there a team that you know came up short that should have been there instead?
You look at the teams that they beat, and you can't really argue that they don't deserve to be there. Right. Juve beat Real Madrid, and Barcelona beat Bayern. So you beat the best, you're the best. So, and I think Juve have a chance because they're not idiots. That's like their biggest strength is they're not stupid. Because even the way they played Real Madrid, it's like, okay, you have super fast players. We're not going to put our players in positions where they have to chase your players.
Right.
And then Vidal and Pogba in midfield is awesome because you have two box-to-box midfielders who could do everything. So, yeah, they're not gonna be one of those idiotic teams that plays into Barcelona's strength, like when they play Manchester City or when they play Arsenal. And then
their defensive organization has been on point. I mean, I thought it was really impressive.
Yeah, they're very disciplined
against Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid weren't prepared for a team that's not gonna open up for them, and it's not like they play Chelsea style. They're just smart.
Right.
They're not gonna park the bus, but they're smart.
Yeah, so. No, they still were attacking on the break and doing what they did, but they kept their formation tight and their shape was good. Moving on from that, you know, we have your thoughts on that. Will you pick Juve over Barcelona in that final?
No. Hell no, they have Messi.
It's like, yeah, exactly. They got Messi and motherfucking Suarez. I'm excited.
And
Neymar. It's such a good matchup. I know, but it's such a good matchup in terms of we get – there's the storylines.
It's Messi and Neymar.
Yeah, it is. It's Messi, Neymar, and Suarez. Suarez still is ahead of Neymar for me. Maybe not personality-wise, but certainly as a footballer.
As a person, he's garbage. But, you know, we'll talk about that later. I think I have an article coming on about that.
Fair enough. Check that out on SB Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should be front page because I'm important now.
Yep. Front page. Zito. Check it. But so there's other interesting news coming from Spain, possibly relevant to Italy. Are you guys going to get Carlo back at AC Milan?
Oh, I hope we do. Even though it's really, really weird, he's been a weird manager at Milan. Because we were after he got fired, me and a couple of people on Twitter were looking at his stats or like his years, right?
Yeah.
And he won the league with PSG. He won the league with Chelsea.
Yeah.
But besides that, he didn't win it with Real Madrid, and he only won it once. In six or seven years at AC Milan, which is kind of stunning when you look at those years, and that's where Juventus got their, you know,
But you know, he hangs his hat on winning champion. You know, he's won a couple Champions Leagues, which is certainly is fair.
He's a tournament manager.
But you know, if you're winning Champions Leagues, that's good enough for a lot of people, don't you think?
Oh no, I mean, I'll take that over the league.
And
you,
certainly, I mean,
Juventus can have the domestic league all they want. Let us get the Champions League.
Yeah, it's the Holy Grail, you know. It's been how long since we've won a league? But I mean, if you could give Arsenal a Champions League title, you know, that'd be.
Keep dreaming, Joseph.
Yeah, I know.
Or keep, 2006. It was right there. No.
But what can you
do? Yeah, I'll take a Champions League over fourth place any day.
over our regular trophy. Hey, we had a new trophy. It was the third place trophy this season.
Yeah.
But what do you think Real Madrid are doing? I mean, they haven't, you know, they go and they fire Ancelotti. Is there a better coach for him? I mean, it looks like Benitez is going to be the guy, right?
Which is hilarious because Benitez is awful. He is an awful coach.
Well, I hate to fall back on cliches, you know, but you've seen, I've been watching, you know, looking at the way, for once, I actually agree with some of the guys on ESPN FC talking about him with his man management skills. And it's just kind of like, well, the way he kind of seems, and he's a bit blustery, it seems like he might have trouble dealing with all those egos, you know?
He is. He's a strict micromanager. Real Madrid is full of stars. They're not just full of regular stars. They're full of stars that have won everything you could win. And he's going to go there and try to tell them how to tie their shoes.
Yeah, and the next thing you know,
Sergio Ramos is going to headbutt him. And then we're going to be here laughing at him. Like, not only because he's a terrible man manager, because he's, you know, he's crazy. But he's a terrible manager because he took over for, Walter Mazzarri or whatever from Napoli.
Oh, right.
And he turned them bad. He got a better Napoli team and he made them worse.
I mean, he did lose.
And
he did
when
lose.
He was at Chelsea.
I mean, he did lose Cavani.
Yeah. Well, but you still have Higuain, you have Callahan, you look at the Napoli team and they should be second or at least challenging for the title. They're a better stacked team than Roma is.
I don't know if I agree with that, but.
Oh, no. Like, if you like, even at the beginning of the season when they were playing well, they were challenging Juventus really heavily. And then towards the end of the season, it's just like, well, we'll just lose and draw the next six, seven games and see how this season turns out. And even before that, at Chelsea, you remember how awful his Chelsea time was?
Yeah. Well, I mean that was a poison. Like, that's a poison chalice. Like he's been a dumbass and walked into some stupid ass jobs. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck do you think you're gonna go? But I mean, what do you think you're gonna do if you're leaving Liverpool and going to, you know, you've left Liverpool, but then you're gonna go back and go to Chelsea? Like, the battles you guys have had, and their fans are a pack of fucking cunts. They're gonna hate you from the first day.
Well, his whole time in Italy was bad too.
Yeah. You're gonna follow Mourinho after he went. Did he win the treble with them? What did he do? He won the Champions League, but he won something else, right? They won the domestic league as well.
Yeah, he won the treble. He won the Champions League, domestic league, and a cup. Yeah. But it's like Rafa, besides his Valencia and his 2005 Champions League, you look at what he's done and it's like, you're not really as good as your reputation seems.
It doesn't seem like he's good enough for Real Madrid. Joseph, what are your thoughts on...
No.
Joseph,
I have no idea what...
Huh?
Oh, sorry.
No, but I'm saying, Joseph, what do you think? What are your thoughts on what Real Madrid are doing? I mean, it seems like if you don't win the league, you're 100% gonna lose out. You know, he needed to win the Champions League to keep his job.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you have, you know, most likely Barcelona waiting for you in the final, that's, you know, and then you end up losing the league. Especially when Barcelona started off poorly, but I mean, poorly for them, but not, you know, overall poorly. But I think that's just what happens. I mean, we're just used to it. They only got two-year managers basically, right? They give them a year, and if it works, great. If it doesn't work, they might give them a second year. And sometimes even in that second year when they win, they go. I mean, that's just that's just the way it's done there.
Like the policy at Real Madrid seems to be like, okay, every year we need the shiny new toy.
And sometimes this year it's a manager because it might not be players.
Like you said, it's about every 2 years, you know, by the time they wear out their welcome. Oh, you didn't win the league this year? Well, but usually, I mean, it made sense with Mourinho not doing so well. And then you had Ancelotti who seemed, you know, who was available, you know, when it seems like there's a right guy to come in. But I mean, it's not like there was some glowing candidate. I mean, what, the dark horse move and they come in for Arsene or what?
Oh, they always come for Arsene.
Yeah. He probably still got a phone call this time. Florentino was like, hey, you ready yet? Nope.
Dude, it's the whole Real Madrid thing is really weird, especially considering that Perez is like, he gives managers the most time out of like all his predecessors. You look at the most time, like, it's like, it was like, one was 26 managers in like a 20 year time. It's weird. Like that's the whole culture. And you, like, you know, Perez is bad, but he's the best of the bunch, which is stunning. But like Real Madrid hasn't won the league in like they've won the league once in 7 years.
Right, Mourinho got that one.
Yeah, and then but that's not what they wanted when they got Mourinho.
They wanted the Champions League.
They wanted the 10th Champions League. And Carlo got them that, and it still didn't save him. So
yeah, we've seen it. Like we said before, you know, Capello got the axe after winning the league as well, you know, and Mourinho.
Del Bosque got it for winning the league as well.
Yeah, so exactly. Like, they're notorious. But it's funny, right?
I mean, it
seems like we're doing pretty good business. Like the new philosophy that Arsenal have adopted in this past two seasons has been pretty smart. It's like whatever talented player who's not being given enough playing time and that they decide they're going to replace with shiny new toys who we pick up, and it's been working pretty well for us.
Well,
so
yeah, all you have to do is just wait in the front door of Spain's big two, and you're going to get some incredible players. Look at Robin. Look at Huntelaar. Look at Van de Vaart when he actually had legs.
When
Schneider was still a human being. But it's like all you have to do is sit there at their door, wait 2 years or wait a year and a half, and you're going to get some great players
because
they don't understand what to do with them. But it's such a weird situation because, like, even Ronaldo came out and blatantly made that Instagram post that was like, hey, I really want to work with this guy next year.
Yeah.
And all the players are, like, putting up their posts like, look – please stay.
Yeah, no, sure.
And then
there's like, dude,
Perez
dude.
Is just like, dude, get the hell out.
Yeah, but they know. I mean, guys, like, it's funny because you have the few players there that are kind of like the lifers, right? I mean, who do we have now? I mean, you know, we know that Ramos started with Sevilla, but he's been at Real for quite a while now, so he's almost
he's like Real through and through now.
Yeah, totally. And you know, so him and Casillas, and there aren't many others, but
Marcelo.
Marcelo's been there he's been there for quite a while.
Yeah, Marcelo's been there for like I think a decade now.
He's been there when he was weird.
When he still looked like Robinho.
Yeah, that's true. Back when he was Robinho double, just about. It's like a little bit chubby Robinho, and now Robinho's that chubby.
He grew out his hair and then he got muscular.
Yeah, I've always not liked Marcelo. I don't know.
Seriously.
Well, you know, like, I rate him as a footballer, but just not as a great defender. And I don't know. He surprised me.
He's one of their best attacking talents.
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, it's such a typical or prototypical Brazilian fullback, right? I mean, these guys, him and Dani Alves. I think Dani Alves is probably a better defender than Marcelo is a defender, but they're both suspect. Like, that's the one aspect of their game that's, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
but I think that's the risk you take. You just shift your defense to accompany that because Marcelo from that left side creates so many chances for them. Like, you don't understand how vital he is to that time he was injured or when he was out. And then it's just like, wow, they can't create anything. He's a really good dribbler too. I really love him.
Yeah, he takes on players well and all that. I mean, look, he is a good footballer. I just have never liked, you know, also I've never liked.
I'd take him over Gibbs.
Well, I mean, look, Gibbs is decent, but let's not get carried away. Let's not get carried away. You're right. He's a better attacking player in that sense.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's a better defender than him, though. So, Joseph, what do you think? Who the hell Well, if Real Madrid are going to Rafa,
it'll be a 1-year term.
6 months.
He gets brought in on these little bitch made contracts. He really doesn't have any negotiating power.
They're lucrative though, right?
I mean, lucrative.
They're lucrative.
Sure. Pay me the money.
Get paid.
Yeah. can't blame him there. Certainly, I'm not going to hate him for that. That's.
Yeah.
I think he'll be there a year until they find whatever they really want, right?
Right.
I don't really know who that is.
Available.
I really don't know who that is. But.
Yeah, there's nobody left.
So where does Klopp go? I heard nowhere. Some talk about a sabbatical kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said he's taking a year off.
Must be a job he wants that's not available yet, right?
Yeah. I wonder.
I can see that. Manchester City job?
Maybe.
That one is available for him now, right?
Because Pellegrini, the City just announced, they just announced that Pellegrini's staying for the next year.
Did they?
So... Yeah.
Did they just announce that? I missed that.
Well, Yaya as well, because Yaya is staying. So.
Well, Yaya can't find someone else to pay him that long dollar. Inter don't have the money to pay him that right now.
Oh, no. Inter are going to pay him that long dollar.
Are they?
Inter are basically at Yaya's door naked.
They're going to pay him the wages he's on at City. They're going to pay him like 250K or whatever.
Yeah,
$300K.
Literally, everybody at Inter has said, we're going to do everything possible to get Yaya at Inter. And he's just like, I'm going to stay at City one more year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird. But I guess you can't
blame him. I mean, who would want to play for Inter?
Yeah. He wants to play Champions League football, so.
Yep. No, that's absolutely fair. And to be fair to him, I mean, look, how many more years does Yaya really have at the top where he can play in the Champions League? I mean, this next year might be his last year in.
Depends on how motivated he is, right?
Right.
Yeah, it really just depends on if he wants to show up.
He can still play. Yeah. He's still got the motors there. It's just
absolutely.
He's a little out of tune right now.
It's a little out of tune. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, does he really
but
want
he's
it?
So
does he have
good.
The appetite?
I mean, he's so talented that. I don't think it's like he couldn't, you know, be focused and dedicated and get right back to where he was,
right.
You know.
Yeah. Like you see it in certain games where he's like, he comes on and it's like, okay, he wants to play this game. And then he just runs the whole show. And in other games, he's just like watching everybody else play. And then he makes like a 60-yard pass and then disappears for the next 20 minutes.
So Travis, where do you think Paul Pogba will be playing next year?
I think Pogba stays at Juventus one last year.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think he's at Madrid next summer.
Or Barcelona next summer?
Not Barcelona.
His agent kind of ruled out Real Madrid because he's like, what did he say? He said Real Madrid takes players in uses them and then throws them away like rags. And he said he doesn't want that for Paul Pogba. And then, I don't know. I mean, it's still Real Madrid. If they bring out the money, it's going to be hard to say no to that.
It does. But, I mean, I don't know. It's just the gut feeling I have is that he would go to Barcelona over Real Madrid.
Well, if he stays one more year at Juventus, that definitely opens up that Barcelona door.
Well, I mean, and I think that might be the
Iniesta's going to be done,
right? Well, yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of the way it would work out. I mean, if that's really his number one choice, which for a lot of players it is, right? I mean, that is a lot of players' like ultimate destination, right? One of those two clubs.
Well, Real or Barcelona,
right? So
I'd hate to see him at Barcelona.
Yeah, because he'd be fucking. Yeah. The best in the world at Barcelona.
Ridiculous. It'll be a cheat code.
Yeah, because he'll be a fucking hybrid of when Yaya was there with Iniesta. And it's going to be sick nasty.
Well, he's so much better. He's like, I was having a discussion and I wrote about it. Because it's like, you compare him to so many players, especially like Yaya, because I think that's the go-to player that people compare him to. Because, you know, Yaya can pass, he can move, he can do everything. But Pogba is like, he dribbles like a winger.
Yeah.
Like you see him one-on-one and he's putting somebody on skates.
Yeah, he has that so aspect. Much, absolutely.
Yeah, he's like, if you put Pogba on the wing, he's comfortable. If you put him up like as an attacking midfielder, he's comfortable. If you put him as a box-to-box, he can do it. And if you put him as a defensive midfielder, he could do it. It's like him and Vidal literally do everything. Well, except he's a better dribbler than Vidal is.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, this is kind of like these players are the prototype of the modern footballer, right?
Yeah.
You'd say like the evolution of some of these footballers, of being able to do that and be great in all these different locations and being comfortable in all those different positions, is huge. But especially guys like him, in terms of, if we're kind of talking about like the super athlete, like the next, you know, when we put together a prototype, right? We always say, you know, people always say that, right? About Messi and Ronaldo, right? The Ronaldo's he's your FIFA player that, you know, jacked up to 99 with all of his stats, basically, you know, like, okay, what's the perfect height and strength and speed? Let's make him the fastest, strongest, and best with everything. And Pogba's now,
and yet
like
he's
that
getting beat by a hobbit.
And I fucking love it. And I fucking love it. I
Dude,
really,
how
I really
do you become it. The perfect human being and a damn Bilbo Baggins is killing you?
Man, I know. It's beautiful. I think it's the beautiful irony, isn't it? That like in that era where this guy believes he's a god, there's a mere mortal who is just more magic than he is. I think it's poetic.
If you consider being able to dribble through like 20 guys and lob the keeper.
Hey, man.
I think Messi's just a god in a different way. He's like Clark Kent. He walks in there, you're just like, okay, regular guy. And then he gets on the field and it's like, oh, wow, I didn't know that was Superman.
But he just has an element of magic that's just, you know, he does more breathtaking kind of stuff for me.
Because he's played in like seven different, like if you watch Messi throughout the years, it's like three or four total different players. Like Messi when 19-year-old with the long hair was like a dribbler. That's all he did. He was just a big dribbler. And then Messi and like in the winger Messi when Pep was first taking over,
sure,
he was just right wing dribble score. He was like Marco Reus. And then he turned into the false nine, who was like god of football I've ever seen. The guy who scores 89 goals in a calendar year.
Out of control.
And now he's back to playmaking midfield / right wing Messi, who still scores a crap load of goals. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah, and he still puts up like, you know, how many assists did he have this season? Does he have so far?
Like he was leader in assists and second in goals.
He's got I know he has over 20 assists across all competitions. Maybe not in La Liga, but he's got crazy numbers for assists. You know, he's over 50 goals. I mean, it's just like when we could throw those stats around, you know, willy nilly in that sense of just being, oh yeah, no, it's 50 something goals, whatever. Yeah, it's a regular Messi season.
Yeah, he's the leader. He's the all time leader in La Liga for goals, assists, and dribbles.
Yeah.
Well, like literally any attack, then that there's a record for, he owns it.
Yeah. So let's enough waxing lyrical about Messi, a guy who is never going to play for Arsenal. Let's talk about some who do and some who potentially will. I won't say fuck that guy. That man is as close to a god as I'm willing to support. Because there aren't any others. So, Joseph, let's talk about Arsenal. Your boy, we waited a long time to get to this. Had his best performance.
I've been patient. I know.
He had his best performance in an Arsenal shirt this season, playing center forward. There have been a lot of people who have been changing their tune. All of a sudden, we got questions: who fucking starts the FA Cup final, Giroud or Walcott through the center? One fucking game.
Right. It's a whole thing. Yeah. I mean,
like, I love Theo. I'm happy to see it, but I mean, what's up with this?
Well, you know, I did watch the game more than once. You might not be surprised to hear that.
Oh, you mean I think it's firmly burned into your spank bank.
Yeah, but you know, the second time I went back, I just wanted to see his movement and how he moved with Alexis and how he really played beyond the goals, you know, and you know, in that first half, he was constantly trying to make diagonal runs inside the box, you know, and even on the, even on the first goal, both he and Alexis were trying to make that same run. And like one right after the other would try to make that run looking for Ozil or Santi or Jack or someone to make a pass, you know, inside the box for either one of them. But, I mean, I think it's a little overboard to say who should start the final. I think Giroud's going to start the final, but I think the tougher call is
right wing.
Well, I really don't. I honestly think it's going to be the same lineup that we've had 2 weeks ago, and then from there, like five games before that, I think Ramsey's going to be on the wing.
You know? Put Jack in.
Jack played a great half.
He did.
Yeah.
He played very well.
Travis, I mean, it was good.
Travis, you got thoughts on Wilshere?
Oh, well, you know, I love Jack. Yeah, I absolutely love that kid. Even though he's an idiot, like, as a person, he's a moron. But, like, as a player, I love the way
English.
He plays.
He's English. He's got, like, that, like, the English lad spirit in him that's a little too much. But, you know, we love him. He's our idiot.
Yeah, but, like, as a player, he has that – he, like, as a midfielder, he has that drive. Like, he gets the ball, and he doesn't just want to pass it sideways. If he sees, like, 10 yards of space, he's going to take it. And then, as a, like, I think anybody knows this, but defenders generally don't like players running at them because it makes you think. It makes you have to make a decision. Right? If they're just passing it side to side, you just move and you cover the ground. But when Jack is getting the ball from midfield and he's running at you at every instance, it's like, he's breaking the defense down every time he does that. And even when you watch that game, he's creating a bunch of chances, even the ones that, you know, we didn't get shots off. Just him being able to move the ball inside the opponent's third creates a mismatch because it gives us more guys than they have.
Right.
But I love him. And he's really good with the ball. And he's gotten better at his passing. And now he can score volleys, I guess. So.
Well, I mean, he scored one. And that really, I think, when we start to tally up reasons, we're going to go a little bit Ramsey Wilshere here. I mean, I think you'd have to say the big reason, the most defining reason as to why Ramsey plays over him in certain aspects is his ability to finish off chances and actually has more end product now.
Well, and Ramsey's smarter.
He is smarter.
And better defensively. Yeah. Ramsey actually
Ramsey's
knows
a better player.
Yeah, he's a better player than Jack, but Jack still is a good player. And, you know, the more he plays, because I think the biggest thing is that people keep saying he doesn't learn or he hasn't learned anything. Yeah. And then you're like, well, he hasn't played in such a long time. And you learn by playing. You're not going to learn how to correct your mistakes unless you're on the field making those mistakes, paying for them, and then realizing, hey, I should actually get back when I lose the ball. But he's going to be a really, really good player. And I hope he stays at Arsenal for a long, long time because he's kind of wonderful to watch.
Agreed.
Well, I think both those players, both Theo and Jack, you know, I think most people have been down on them for quite a while, you know, as far as their outlook with Arsenal going forward. I mean, lots of people talking about how next year is basically a make or break year for Jack. I don't really feel that way, but I like the fact that both of them took whatever opportunity was given. This West Brom on the last day, and we didn't really need to win the match, and West Brom didn't show up for the first 20 minutes, but they still put the effort in and made great decisions and had great end product, you know. So, I mean, I thought it was a joy to watch that first half. It really was. And for me specifically, to watch those two players.
Do you think do you think that Jack did enough to actually get into that starting 11 come this week?
No. No.
Travis?
Well, no, I don't think so. But it's pretty weird, isn't it? Like, this feels like last year. Remember last year when it was right before the FA Cup, and Szczesny was playing the last game, and he played really, really well. And then the question was, should Szczesny play over Fabianski for the FA Cup final? And everybody had this huge debate, and I was like, dude, let Fabianski play. You've trusted him throughout the whole thing. Let him play his final game.
So are you a firm believer that Szczesny will be starting this weekend?
Oh, yeah. But I also want Giroud to start over Theo because – We've been playing Giroud this whole time, and he's been playing well. Let the dude who's got there finish it off.
I agree on both. I think they'll both start as well. Joseph, have you wavered at all on your stance on either one of those? Like, have you said you expect Giroud to start, right?
Yeah, I expect Giroud to start. I expect the lineup we saw for United and the lineup we saw for Swansea. That's the lineup I expect.
Chesney,
I don't think anything
Chesney,
will change.
Chesney
I think
and Ospina.
It's Chesney. Yeah, except Chesney because he's the cup keeper. But I just think that this game gave us a little more hope of what could come off the bench, though, in the final if needed.
Absolutely. I mean, it's great to see people that are options and people that can come off the bench. You know, we got to see someone who I've been wanting to see for a while because really, I mean, the guy, our promote from within, copyright, Joseph, option on the right is Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. I really think what he gives us on that side
he's still alive.
Is great. So I was happy to see him back on the pitch. I don't think it was enough to, you know, I thought he would need at least two matches back before he could potentially vie for a starting bid on the right-hand side. But now look at, I mean, those are probably the first three names and you're thinking about who you'd bring off the bench outside of our starting 11, right? You've got Jack, we've got Theo, we've got the Ox. Those are great options to have.
And
you have
Rozitsky, a bench now.
You know, and it's good. Yeah, exactly. We've got a real bench.
I don't understand why people want to sell these players when it actually gives us depth. You have those players you just talked about. Now Serge is finally coming back.
Sure.
After he disappeared off the face of the earth. Like, we don't have to get some youth player that's 18 years old. Like that weird situation where we had, what was his name? Like now something.
Yeah.
And it was like, or David Martinez.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, good teams have good depth. Why do we always have to be the team that's putting in an 18-year-old? Because either our great players have left or they're injured. We actually have good players. Why do you want to sell them now?
Yeah, and I don't think there's an idea that people want to sell them. But I mean, there's just the problem with, I don't know, is it that Arsenal's too nice, or is it just that we don't have, like, I know we have a high wage bill, but a lot of people, you know, there's a certain structure to it. But you know, at other teams, some people are willing to be more squad players because when you're getting paid 100K to sit around, like, there's worse gigs to have, right? If you're making £1,000 a week, I mean, £100,000 a week, something like that, maybe it's easier to deal with not playing it week in, week out. I don't know. But if we want to contend for the titles that we want to contend for, which are A, the Premier League, and B, the Champions League, we have to have that kind of depth because it's like, who are we trying to compare ourselves with? And what level do we want to be on? You want to be on level with teams like City, like Chelsea, like like Bayern, like, I mean, I know it gets crazy. Then you start talking about Bayern and Real and Barcelona. But we look at how many good players they have per position. You have to have that. I mean, it's interesting. I've been intrigued by the way they've done it at a couple of those clubs that they've kind of been adopting, and world football's adopting a bit of that rotating, like that keeper. The cup keeper versus league keeper, but you know, with some of them, they're even doing the cups include the Champions League, which is you know, I'm seeing it with Barcelona, having Ter Stegen doing that when you've had Bravo playing so well in the league is kind of a trip. But
well, I think they made a mistake because they got Ter Stegen and then they got Bravo, and I think Bravo was supposed to be the second keeper, but then
was he?
Something happened to Ter Stegen, and then Bravo came in on the league. And he's just so good. And it's like, you can't really take him out if he's, like, playing that well. And then it was like, all right, you'll play the cup. And they're both really, really good. So, but, like, it's the same thing what Mourinho did with, who was it, Diego Lopez and Casillas. Casillas was playing the cup. Or, yeah, even...
Yeah, no. They were doing it then. I know. So it's been an interesting trend. We've seen that be different. I mean, you know, we've seen the way Arsene likes to do it. It's obviously the top priority is those top two, right? So our number one plays Champions League and the Premier League. Our number two plays the FA Cup and the Capital One Cup. And that's the way it is. And I don't see that changing in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, like we said, he's an old dog. I don't expect him to change what he does. He's going to go with Chesney this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, unless
he deserves it, he's gotten us to the final.
Yeah, and he had to sit out on this. I mean, he'd be I mean, look, I know he straight disrespected Arsene, and Arsene could just be gangster and just tell him, you know, at the end, the last second, like, hey, Ospina's going to start, and, you know, you're never going to play for us again. But it'd be pretty fucking
hard. That's harsh. Not Arsene at all.
No, it's not. It's not.
Diaby is still on our wage bill.
That's true. But, you know, but I don't know. I don't know. I feel like Arsene's still got – he's got a little bit of a vindictive streak in something. I feel like maybe he – I don't know. We don't need to get into Cesc.
Well, he gets mad, but he's like, he gets mad the same way a dad gets mad.
Right.
He gets mad, and then like the next 10 minutes, he's hugging you and telling you that, you know, you're a really good person. I just want what's best for you. Arsene doesn't get Mourinho mad where he cuts you, and then you don't even speak to him for the rest of the season.
So, Joseph, are you comfortable that we're going to beat Tim Sherwood's men at the weekend?
Well, I mean, I guess it's a final, so I'm always nervous. But yeah, I mean, I think we have the squad, and for the most part, performing well enough to beat them, and we should beat them. I won't say easily, but kind of easily. Kind of easily, not completely, just kind of easily.
Like the way we kind of easily beat Hull last time, because I kind of thought that would be kind of easily too.
Well, that one I almost shit my pants at the pub, so that wasn't good.
I was sitting next to you, so I'm glad you did not.
I was pretty excited.
By the way, for all of you in LA, I would say get down to the Fox and Hounds, but they sold out their tickets and they're at capacity way before I went to get them. So I will not be the Fox. But enjoy it there. I might be on the west side, so if you're around, go to the Cock and Bull in Santa Monica. That's where I'll probably be. But, yeah, so sorry, Joseph, to let you know on air that we don't have tickets for the
– Yeah, no, I saw the – I saw your tweet to the LA Gooners.
I was like, fuck, man. And I was there at the weekend too, and I forgot to ask them before I left. Amateur hour.
Yeah. Yeah, so if we don't – I mean, I was there for the win, so.
So if we don't win, it's my fault because I didn't get tickets for us to go.
I'm just saying.
You're saying? Okay, all right. I'll wear it. I'll wear it if we lose. I'll take that. It's okay. I'm not the superstitious one. It's all right.
No, I know it's me.
Oh man, Travis, you feel good about it?
Yeah, it's Tim Sherwood. If I ever have to live in a world where Tim Sherwood is outsmarting Arsene. I'll probably just find a different sport. I'll tell SB Nation I'm never writing about soccer again.
Hey, how about them Lakers, pick number 2?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I hope we get, like, Russell or somebody good. But, yeah, like, screw Tim Sherwood. He's an idiot. Yeah. I hope we beat him, like, 5-0. Just, like, destroyed him.
Yeah, I really love for it to follow the blueprint of the West Brom game. That would be lovely. Can we just get a repeat, a little carbon copy? I'm going to go for a 3-0.
Yeah, no, 3-1. 3-1.
Nice. We'll get a 3-1.
Yeah, we're Arsenal.
3-1. Goals from Giroud, Alexis, and Ramsey. Yeah. Joseph?
You can give me I'm going to go more conservative. 2-1. Santi scores finally, and
be about fucking time, right?
And Alexis scores.
Okay.
Alexis gets the winner.
All right, all right. I'm down
takes
with that.
Takes off the shirt. Takes off the
shirt. Shows off all that bod.
Yeah. Travis, what's your score prediction?
Oh, 3-0. I think Giroud scores twice, and I'm just being hopeful here. I hope Ozil scores once.
Oh, that would be great.
Just so I could post that ice cream picture.
It is a good ice cream picture.
It is.
That shall suffice. I dig it. I dig it. All right, we're going to do a couple little last things before we leave. So we've been doing this with all the guests in the past couple weeks. Travis, give me 2 players you signed for Arsenal and why. If you could have only 2.
Morgan Schneiderlin, because Kogelin is nice, but no.
Okay.
And that's weird.
You can't think of one now?
Give me a second. I would say a striker. I think I want a striker.
A striker or
Mandzukic. Yeah, Mandzukic.
Mandzukic.
Yeah. I'll take Mandzukic.
Interesting. So another point kind of forward, not a pacey forward. Because it seems like if we're going for an attacking player, it'll be someone, you know, we have our target man. So someone, and we have Sanogo as a backup target man.
No, not Mandzukic. Carlos Bacca.
Carlos Bacca. Well, did just win a Europa League title. You know, I would talk about that.
Did you see?
No, I know. Hold on. We refuse to talk about the Europa fucking league on the Pintcast until we are forced into it by Arsenal falling into it. And that's never happened yet, which is more than Chelsea and United can say. So we will not be covering anything about the Europa League.
Well, just as him as a player, he's not slow.
No.
Well, he's quick enough. And he makes those runs that, like, he makes great runs, and he can finish with, like, any foot. He's a really, really good finisher. I love him. Okay. So I would take him.
Okay. I'll take it. Joseph, have you wavered at all? Have you gone back and forth on any of this? Who are your two players? I forget.
Oh, well, I don't remember if I had a player. I think I just, you know, I think last week I said we needed a bigger, better cock. And then
the Schneider cock would be good enough for you?
I don't know if
Schneider. I mean, how big does it have to be?
I mean,
jeez, man.
What do you need to be satisfied, man?
I don't know. I'm not sure he's the player we need, but.
Okay.
But someone in that, I mean, I'm, you know, someone in that position.
So give me a name. Give me a name of a defensive midfielder.
You know, there's not too many of them.
Yeah, there's not a ton that seem that would be readily available. I mean, really outside of the Schneider
limit. Oh, De Jong is available this time.
Well, there you go.
Do you guys think, I mean, so I'm not going to put any faith into a Vidal rumor, much less any sort of Pogba rumor.
That's funny.
But like, if you were, do you think though, just hypothetically, you could do a double box to box midfielder combo for us? Like, would a Ramsey Vidal midfield work? Would a Ramsey Pogba midfield work? I mean, is that something that's feasible? I'm not obviously like, well, we're not going to talk about actually getting those players, but would that kind of midfield succeed?
Oh yeah, it has before. Remember Chelsea with Balak, Essien, and Lampard?
Yeah.
Those midfields succeed as long as your players aren't idiots. Like, that trio, it was like, Essien is a super box-to-box midfielder. Right. He's like the god of midfielders when he still had knees.
When he was the Bison and had good knees.
Yeah. So it's like, if Essien wants to go up, Lampard and Balak will sit, or, you know, one of them was sit, like Balak was sit, and then Lampard.
Yeah, ahead but, of him. But the thing is that our midfield three, this is all right. So let's suppose that you're playing with Ozil as a number 10. So you don't have you don't have three robust midfielders. We're only talking about two of the three, and you're playing with Ozil as a 10.
Oh, well, as long as one of them sits and is going to do the defensive work, let's see, it's not going to be Vidal. Vidal has to be like the one going back and forth. Because if you just sit Vidal back, you're wasting him. But it's the same with Ramsey.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why they're like, you know, I look at those guys in the beginning of last season, you know, and with the half season that Ramsey had before injury, you know, on form, I thought Vidal and Ramsey were the two best box-to-box midfielders playing in Europe during that first half of the season. But they're very similar. They're both engines.
Yeah. But as long as one of them, it doesn't have to be a permanent one that's sitting. As long as they're smart enough to watch the play and then decide which one of them is going to go forward and which one is, it's a 90-minute game. They can trade.
Sure.
And Balak and Essien did that for a while. As long as they're smart enough to decide which one's going to go and which one's going to stay for a while, it should work. It's not Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard who just said fuck it and we're both gonna go up. As long as they're smart, you have smart players, you can make anything work.
Yep, that's fair enough.
That's my philosophy.
Your quickly, your opinions on Royce?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Marco Royce. Like, is he coming to Arsenal or just general opinion?
Well, do you see him moving this summer?
Oh, no. He just signed that new contract, didn't he?
Yeah, but does that ever mean anything anymore? I mean, the only thing that does is it usually means they'll stick around for one more season and ensure that the club gets full value for him in the transfer market.
Well, he's like 26 going on 27 now. And he was supposed to go to Real Madrid. So unless like Ronaldo just really starts falling off soon, I think he's going to be one of those weird attacking players that actually stay, which is, I don't know, it's just weird in these times. But I think he stays. Plus, he's for some reason, there hasn't been a lot of talk about him lately. It's like he died and like fell off the face of the earth.
So. Well, you know, I mean, he missed a few things with the World Cup injury and then his injury midway through the season. And yeah, I mean, I think signing the new deal makes things a little more quiet, you know, because he and Pogba were the two big potential.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. So.
He is moving.
Yeah,
he is moving, but it won't be to Arsenal.
No. Definitely won't be the Arsenal.
Don't shatter my dreams.
Oh, man, we can all dream, but no.
We can. We'll see how that one progresses. Yeah, well, so you guys all, we're across the board. We believe Barcelona's probably going to take it next week. Arsenal will win the FA Cup. Barcelona will win
the FA Cup as well.
No, they're going to win the Copa del Rey, which is directly after the FA Cup. So there you go. Make your betting picks accordingly. Do the might as well go for. You could probably trifecta that, right? Or I'm sorry, parlay that three ways. Pretty safe bet that one. I'd make it. Anything else, Joseph? Did I miss anything? We missed anything, or is it getting too late? Then are we getting delirious?
No. I don't think we've missed anything. Though I'm trying to think. Was anything big? I mean, nothing was really big from the weekend, other than a nice performance in the end of the league.
Do you guys, I mean, obviously
nothing too exciting.
Obviously, I guess we can wait until after the FA Cup for some of this, but I mean, just from the league in general, I know we didn't pick up more points than last season, but Travis, do you feel like this was a step forward for us?
Well, it's
sideways.
It feels like last year. Yeah, it's sideways. It feels like last year. And the only difference now is that Manchester United didn't find their identity until late on, and Manchester City sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose that's fair.
But we weren't really in a title race like that, so no.
Well, hopefully things will be remedied next season.
Yeah, I think it is sideways also, but
yeah. Look, but retain an FA Cup, and that's something that hasn't been done in a while, you know, and that's that will be an impressive feat, but we got to go and win the match on Saturday first. So to Arsenal doing that and making it happen would be fan-fucking-tastic. So please, let's see that. Check out these fine fellows on Twitter. Follow Joseph at I Hate Your Club. Follow Mr. Zito here, Travis at _Zeets, and read his inflammatory pieces that will have all the little trolls crying all day on SB Nation. Thank you so much for checking us out. We'll be back next week to the Champions League. Later. ODB, as you can see, FBI, don't you be watching me. I don't want no problems because I put you down in the ground where you cannot be found. I'm just third dog trying to make somebody. So give me my streaks and give me my honey. Radios play this all day, every day. Recognize I'm a fool and you love me. None of you know, better look at me funny. You know my name, down, give me my money. Hey, hey, sing it. Baby, I got your money. Sing it, girls. I said, hey, just sing it right now. Baby, I got your money. And 31 is hey, money. I think y'all should give him his money. Baby, I got your that's money. That's how I like you. I said, hey, baby, I got your money. Sexy, sexy, sexy. Sexy, sexy, sexy. Like this all night, bitches put your ass out, let me hold it tight. You looking at my wrist, ain't this so nice? The price, bitch, is diamond shining disco line. Well, you better help me solve my problem. I'ma get this money and rob them. Lucky dog when I won the lotto. Ran up on my car, I'm carrying Rollo. But hold on, you can call me dirty and then lift up your skirt. And you want some of this dirty? God made dirty.
Stop annoying me, yeah, play my music loud. And take the bats and old dirty to move the crowd. You say he had his dick in his mouth. Eddie Murphy taught me that back of the house. But give him the money.